Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jock and Journo Show for another week. It's Jay Clark here, the captain of Collingwood, Scotty Penderbury, and Braden Cox here to talk about all the big footy issues, of course. And hasn't the umpires and free agency been hot topics this week? We're also going to get to Sunday's match of the round versus West Coast versus Richmond. It's last year's most improved side versus the most improved side of this year. It's going to be fascinating. As I say hello to you, Pendles. You missed last week with that ankle, mate, but you're playing in the game this weekend.
Yeah, back this week. I thought our match was close to being match of the round until we got kicked off Channel 7 for the royal wedding. So
it's a bit of a setback, isn't it?
Yeah, I knew we were down the list. So I think we're airing into country areas, though, aren't we?
That's good. We get the rural areas, country round.
Listen on the wireless to St Kilda Collingwood Saturday night.
You are only playing St Kilda, of course. That's a bit harsh. Hey, how close did you come, Pendles, with a sore ankle to playing last week? I've got a picture of you sort of begging Bucks, you know, let me play, I'll do one last fitness test, that sort of stuff.
No, I was confident, but I did a sort of test on Saturday and it was just too sore. And for the sake of one game, I thought that if I'd played last week, the amount of soreness I would have this week, it would just linger for probably 6 to 8 weeks. So, it's always hard to say no, like I'm not right. And then now, though, I know that I made the right decision because it feels really good and really clean. So I know that it's not something that I'm going to have to deal with for another 6 weeks, which can be annoying when you do ankles.
Now, we know you want to be a senior coach when you've finished up your playing career. You're in the coach's box for the Geelong game. How was that? Any amusing, particularly stressful moments up there with Bucks?
It's always stressful up there, especially in a close game. And the game that we had against Geelong was sort of a bit of a chess match. So, every time I get to go up there, I'm excited by that and, you know, new dynamic with new coaches. So I just sat back, watched how they work together and just sort of almost taking note of things that I reckon work well, don't work well from a line coach point of view. So, yeah, it's always good learning to head up there, and it's always better when you win because it's a little bit more jovial. But I thought the guys coached extremely well.
I never thought you were a chance in that game. When Darcy went down, you lost Tommy Phillips as well. It never seemed like you were really in control of that match. Do you agree?
I just think we couldn't close that little sort of 3-goal buffer that they got us. They jumped us at the start of the game, and we had some poor skill errors early in the game, which sort of gifted them goals. And we only scored, I think, 30-odd or 40, and they scored 60. So I thought if we could get a run on, they were never too far away because that was such a low-scoring game. But, yeah, we couldn't take our chances, and credit to Geelong with how they played.
We've got some broader topics to talk about in a second. I've got this theory, and we haven't discussed this yet, but I reckon the Collingwood midfield is in its best shape right now than it has been in a few years. So you've got Adam Treloar playing close to his career best form.
Yep.
Grundy's probably past 2 weeks have been a little bit off, but otherwise this year has probably been his best ever form. Tommy Phillips is playing his career best footy. And with you in there, there's a greater balance.
Sidebottom's
in career best form. So you look collectively, I reckon you've got players who are probably playing close to near their best footy. Geordie DeGoey as well. And there's better balance. Do you feel like that's the case? And did you get a better glimpse of that at the weekend? I know you lost, but up from the coach's box, do you feel more confident in that midfield group? Because I think Champion Data rated you last year the best midfield group, but you probably didn't perform to that. Year closer.
I think last year we were rated as the best group individually, like we had the most talent player-wise or whatever it is in there. But I think the difference this year is our ability to work as a group, so maximising each other's strengths. And, Brody's ruck work, follow-up, adds his run and carry with the footy, finishing off, going inside 50, whether that's pass or goal. Sidey's work, Taylor Adams back into the fold now after missing a few weeks. So I think we've got the balance right and understanding, that's time. That's the beauty of time. We've learned how to play together, maximise each other's strengths. What guys are good at, put those guys in those situations. What they're not so good at, don't let them get into those situations, cover for each other. So I think our midfield group is working the best it's worked in a while.
Joshy Thomas, you could throw into that mix as well.
Yep.
And without blowing too much wind up your ass, have you taken a step back or have you changed your game to become more defensively focused to allow some of their other guys in there to do more of their thing? Like, I think you're one of the competition's leading tacklers, which is...
I don't know, mate. You're a stats man.
I'm just saying, do you feel as if have you changed your game?
A little bit, yeah, I think I have. And I think it's just playing to each other's strengths. And, as you know, that I I'm defensively, the way I think about football is probably more defensive and in terms of a team view and how the system should work and things like that. And, you know, playing to my strengths is that I see that side of it probably a little bit clearer. And so I can, you know, I can take matchups that suit our team to, you know, sort of nullify guys or help set us up behind the footy. And then we might let, you know, Adzi go to work, mate. I've got your back. If it goes the other way, I can cover you, because go to work, because he's, as much as I'd love to say it, I don't have his leg speed to get forward and really break the line. So
when are we having that 20-metre sprint? It's got to be soon, Cocker. We'll organise it.
We've got to bring it up anytime you want. I'm ready to film it.
Well, I think the beauty is the balance that we have through there. So guys play a role, bring each other into the game. There's weeks where you have to be, you know, more defensive, or your job or your matchup, respecting the opposition is what you've got to do. And even last week, you know, Taylor Adams' job on Selwood, that, you know, I thought he was really good in there, nullified his effectiveness with the ball. And it's not something that Taylor's done in the past few years. He's been more the clearance, go get the footy, but, you know, we needed a role done, and he did it really well.
Definitely becoming more selfless, Coco. And we like what our man is doing here. He's taking a step back, being more sacrificial for the benefit of his other team. But he still does take those opportunities to sell candy sort of one or two times. He doesn't miss those, does he?
At least you count every single one. That's good. You've got a little pad at home next year, lazy boy, and you just jot them all down. I knew, actually, it was funny because you've played a number of roles. You've been in the ruck this year.
That was a low point in my career.
You've been a tagger, but I knew you were stuffed with your foot when they put you forward. It's probably
deep forward isolating me. I didn't really, yeah.
Deep forward, like, is probably, you know.
I can't get my guy for speed. I'm not going to get him in the air.
At least they
with a bung uncle, I'm not going to get him on the ground. So
it was a good matchup.
Bypass me, boys.
It was a good matchup. Yeah, he's 200 centimetres, 100 kegs playing on you.
Decoy roll.
Yeah, and I'm going away a free kick. Go figure.
Hey, umpires, just quickly, Scotty. How much banter do you have out there with the umpires? I mean, there's been a big discussion about, you know, touching them or not touching them. What's your understanding of contact with the umpires?
The only way that I've ever touched an umpire or had contact with an umpire is accidentally at a stoppage. You know, you go to run and you run into each other.
Yeah.
Don't mean it. But, yeah, after a free kick, anything like that, it's never entered my mind to touch an umpire. And it's been, you know, heavily debated, topical.
It's not rocket science, is it?
I just think, yeah, you don't touch them. But then I can understand the you know, clubs getting angry because, you know, Hawk gets rubbed out for a week. People get off. So it's sort of saying don't touch them, but maybe touch them if it's in the right manner. But yeah, I just think for the look of the game, you don't need to touch them, even if you mean it in the best intended purpose, but it's not going to matter because it just doesn't look great.
Yep.
So yeah, just don't do it. But in terms of banter, I have plenty of banter talking about decisions with umpires.
So tell us about that.
Oh, heckling them a little bit, having a bit of fun with them, because it's, you know, as much as it's a high stress environment game, it does make it more enjoyable when you do have a little bit of banter with the umpires. It's not the stuff where, you know, you can hear the umpire on TV on the mic player. It's, you know, it might be a decision or ball. Like, you think it's holding the ball and you're just having a bit of banter, having, you know, throwing some lines at them, seeing if you get a reaction, just a bit of fun. And
do you get that back from the umpires?
Yeah, sometimes you get it back and you enjoy that bit of banter. Yeah. So, it's nothing. It's no good talking to a brick wall.
Have you got a couple of favourites, or is someone, have you got a line that you can remember, or can you take us into that world? You know, who is it? Razor Ray, who can be, I mean, who can you have some
Razor,
fun with?
Razor Ray is really good. I find that the umpires that engage, I like that, because you can have a bit of banter, you can see their side of things.
Yeah.
I remember he gave a free kick away to me when I tackled Aaron Sandilands too high. I remember saying, how can I tackle him too high? I can't even touch his shoulders. Bit of banter, and he started laughing as well. And it's good fun.
I like that. When we see a bit of personality, a bit of colour from these sorts of guys. And I like the more media opportunities that the umpires are doing, like whether it's halftime or throughout the week, or I like seeing that personality, explanation of decisions.
The one I always struggle with and always give the umpire, heckle the umpires a bit, is he attempted to dispose of the ball. I said, well, that's the purpose of playing this game. But if you don't do it properly, that's a good tackle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he attempted to get rid of it. Yeah, well, I'm attempting. for him not to get rid of it. So that's holding the ball.
Yeah.
He had a try.
I always have a bit of laugh at that one.
What about the recall bounce? What is within the rules or outside of the spirit of the game when an umpire stuffs up the bounce?
It's almost like, so for me that is, if we have a set shot and miss it, it'd be like the umpire giving you shit.
Yes.
So you don't give them shit. But you just, you know, in the centre bounce, you have a look at him and he knows and he puts his head down and you're just like, throw it up, mate. Throw it up. It is, it's good fun. And because you feel for him. We try to do it before games. You've seen players out there, and the amount of players that bounce and it comes back and falcons them is hilarious. Yeah. So, but they do it. They put their big when they bounce it down, and then it goes quickly sideways, and they're just sitting there going, oh no, and then the whole crowd.
Oh. Yeah, but do you guys do that as well?
Nah, I just think I'll get another 10 seconds rest here.
Yeah, I can. That's poor Razor Ray as well at the moment. He can't bounce it over a jam tin.
Can he?
He probably gets it about a metre and a half off the ground.
Some grounds are different too. Like Eddie had it nearly hits the roof.
Yeah.
They bounce it, and then the G, if it's wet, they bounce it and it barely goes tall in Razor Ray.
One thing about the ban the bounce, like get rid of the bounce, keep the bounce. If the bounce is there to... it was brought in originally to stop dodgy umpires from favouring one team. So why not just wherever it bounces is where it bounces? You can't control it. So otherwise, if you want it to go perfectly straight up, just throw it up.
Nah, because if that decided the grand final, you just couldn't accept it.
Yeah,
it would not be.
But we play with an oval ball, Jay.
I don't mind it though because it brings the crowd into it. I think it's funny from time to time when they have to call it back. And I know the umpires don't want to do it, but... Yeah, the crowd gets into it. They start heckling. It's part of our game.
You could say the same thing about the goal review. Mm.
Oh, you could say the same thing about when blokes miss from 10 metres out in front. But, yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Have you heard anything amusing from other ruckmen? Or have you heard ruckmen sort of give it to the umpires in that situation? Like, I'd imagine Maxi Gawn.
Oh, not
I have
really,
heard.
Nah.
I think Jared Blair tried to tackle Maxi Gawn once.
And
Maxi Gawn looked down at him and said, "What are you trying to do, little man?" Or something along those lines.
That'd be original.
It was quite amusing. Hey, the game on Sunday, West Coast versus Richmond. This is a fascinating matchup between, as I said, probably the most improved side last year versus the most improved side this year. And quite interestingly, Richmond is favourite, but only just. We're seeing the Richmond system come up against a West Coast side where a lot of those B graders, Scotty, and the C graders of last year have really stepped up. So yes, they've got the superstars, Nat Nui, Kennedy, McGovern, etc., but we're seeing some of those lesser lights really take their game to the next level. What have you seen about West Coast and why all of a sudden they've gone from a bottom four contender to being talked about as a top four side?
Yeah, well, I think having the spine that they've got is crucial, and Nat Nui back means that usually the game starts at a centre bounce, which, takes that centre bounce. They get a clean look at a clearance. Mm-hmm. And not only is he such a good ruckman, his hits are so valuable. Like, there's winning a hit and then there's putting it down your throat. And he jumps that high that I've heard from multiple sources that he actually says to people, like, when I'm up there, I can see sort of things happening that I can just put it, the other side because I know someone's going to be there. I can see that.
Wow.
So that's jumping, isn't it? So, and then I think McGovern down back is really good. And then the interesting one for me is Richmond's defensive system is so strong and Rance and Asprey and those guys, Grimes. But then they come up against the Darling, Kennedy. So there's some serious talent in this game. And, it's one that I think all footy fans Sunday will sit down and watch. And, the ground over there is obviously a clear advantage to West Coast because Richmond haven't played on that ground yet. So... Yeah, looking forward to sitting back watching. And, it's great. You're looking at two sides at maximum confidence level, and Richmond will be loving this challenge. Every week, the last few weeks, they've had new challenges. And I know being in a situation where you've won a flag and the next year you get excited by these sides that think they can knock you off or they might be better than you, and you want to go out there and prove to them, hey, you're not quite at our level yet.
Well, aside from last week when they just got over the line against North Melbourne, I reckon Richmond are doing something very similar to what you guys did in 2011. But the challenge is going to be for the Tigers to keep that going all year because, as you guys found, you fell off the cliff towards the end of the year. You're playing invincible footy midway through the season. I think your average winning margin was up around 50 or 60 points. But it's a long time to be keeping up. So it's whether the Tigers can maintain that and the current unbelievable injury rate throughout the back half of the year.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think their injury list is a lot healthier than what we had 2011. We started to lose a lot of soldiers around the middle of the year, and it puts stress on the players that are playing every week, plus the guys coming in. So But the one thing about Richmond is every game sort of has the same pattern with them. It's a low scoring game, and they sort of just wait for you to break because they trust what they're going to do. And even on the weekend with North, it was a low scoring affair, and they back themselves defensively so much that they'll restrict you and they'll find a way to score enough goals.
In 2011, just on this, when you played Geelong, I think it was in that final round game, and there was nothing on the line, and they smashed you by 100 points because it was really, it was just a, it was dancing with your sister for you guys.
Yeah.
Did that put a seed of doubt into your mind?
No, not at all. I remember
you just
even the,
wiped that game off.
Oh, we as much as you didn't want to lose by 100 points, when going into that grand final, we were extremely confident. I think we went in up at half time.
Yeah.
We started the game really well. We fell away towards the back of that game, but it had no doubt in our mind that we were the best thought that we were the best team, and we went in with that attitude. I don't think any person, like, we didn't draw motivation from getting beaten by 100 points.
You know, that was the only time I've seen you not attack a football 100% in that game. I remember it was on the goal line. There was a ball bounced, I reckon, above you. You're in the goal square. Do you remember this? No. And I reckon...
Sounds
and
like
you,
a good story.
Yeah, right. So there was a ball which bounced, which was sort of out of your reach, but above your head, and you were sort of surrounded by Geelong players. And looked to me, with nothing on the line, that was the only time late in the game where I reckon you took... You sort of...
self-preservation.
Yeah, you went to self-preservation, mate. That was exactly right.
The hardest games for me that I've played in my career is the pre-season.
Yeah.
I really struggle in pre-season games.
Yeah.
And games that don't have much on the line when you're about to enter finals. I don't know, it just always felt slightly different. So I don't know if it was in my head or whatever, but I do remember that game. It had a very awkward feeling about it. That's probably the most awkward game I've played in because both sides had nothing on the line, but it was a huge game because it was the two grand finals. And then by quarter time, the game was over. So it was sort of like, and then late in the fourth or whenever it was, it would have been just... Don't get injured. We can't change the result here. But and then usually though, people say that if you have that attitude, you end up getting injured. But I think we walked away from that game pretty much like, did anyone get injured? No. Nah. All right, let's attack finals.
And that was Mick's attitude. But I just wonder whether psychologically that leave that dented you.
Maybe it did, but probably gave Geelong a bit of confidence. Well, they did work, but for us, I think we played Bulldogs in the first final, smacked them.
Yep.
Got over Hawthorn. So we were ready.
You're back this week. GWS is a fascinating issue for me at the moment, Scotty, because 5 years ago, and I feel like we're going to lock horns over this, five years ago, we said that GWS, and I was part of this, that they were going to win 5-6 flags in a row, and that they were an unstoppable force, they were a machine, they had talent going through the roof, and there was this whole talk about them having too much access to academies, etc., and that got trimmed back, etc. Tomorrow they play, well, this weekend they play North Melbourne, and they're outsiders. They lose that tomorrow, Scotty. They fall 6 points outside the eight. They fall further down the premiership betting, and I reckon next week GWS is going to be this big story. Will be the big story, because is that premiership window already starting to shut?
Well, I think that for starters, they've got a lot of injuries at the moment, don't they? So,
you don't use that as an excuse.
No, you don't. But in the past few years, say 2 years ago, I reckon these injuries, they had players sitting there underneath ready to go. But I think, like, everyone acknowledges that their list is, everyone's picked the eyes out of their list, that players that's 24th or 5th on the list, other clubs have gone and grabbed because that person actually is the starting midfielder at another club. So
depth is an issue now.
Well, I think guys have just, they've got a lot of young kids now. So where the players like a Jack Steele that's at St Kilda, if he's there, he's playing, probably good footy at the Giants. And I think that's just the way that it was always going to happen there. They've got a salary cap the same as everyone else, good players that you have to let people go and make those decisions. But
so they're brought back to the pack?
A little bit, yeah, especially with injuries. With injuries, it reveals, your system, your plan, what you're doing on match day. Is everyone on board with that? Your depth of your list as well. So they're probably experiencing something that they haven't for a while with these injuries. They've had a really clean run for a couple of years. So it's been, in terms of the five premierships in 5 years, I think they've given themselves the last 2 years a chance to get in that big dance. Mm-hmm. And that's all you can do.
So it's a tick?
So I think so. Prelim, arguably last year against Richmond, kick straight in the first half and you go in half time 6 or 7 up. Missed a lot of goals, and then the year before they lost, Cal Ward got knocked out, that game I think should have been done at quarter time. The Bulldogs were that impressive that night. It's a throwaway line saying five flags, 5 years. It should have been this side will challenge for 5 years, which I don't think was a outlandish call saying they'll challenge for 5 years, because they've clearly got the list to challenge for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to come to you in a second on this, Coco. But, Scotty, what about the system? Is it a one-dimensional system? And perhaps maybe you can or can't comment on this, but for me, I look and I see their one wood is that offensive run and that potency, right? So that once upon a time, they were super high scoring and their run was magnificent and blah, blah, blah. Now teams have, I reckon, have worked that out, and GWS have been caught short on a plan B or a backup plan, because they're not scoring as well and they're defending more deep. So and that's where next week and going forward the rest of the year, the question will be asked, is Leon Cameron the man to coach this side? Because he's facing the biggest test of his coaching career right now.
Well, I think whenever you go through a rough patch like this, everyone's always questions everything about your football club. But I think just for me watching, it looks like a chemistry issue. This group of guys haven't played together before. Nobody questioned their system for the last 2 years when they're playing in prelims. And as I said, both times they gave themselves a chance to get in the grand final, so your system must be fairly good. So at the moment, it just looks like a bit of chemistry. New guys playing with new people. Is he going to turn left? Is he going to turn right? And they need time to gel as a group. And unfortunately, in this industry, you don't get the time you need to practice all these things. So they'll figure it out. Even that night they played against Geelong and they had a few injuries. You know, they've still got a fairly talented team. Anytime you walk in, Shield, Canelio, Whitfield, Delidio, guys like that into your midfield, you know, it's fairly impressive.
Coco, what happens if GWS don't make the finals this year? Will it be a mortal wound to the AFL big picture, to the new baby, to the experiment?
Well, it's not great, is it? Like, the AFL would want them to succeed, and they would have their own...
They need them to win a flag, don't they?
They have their own KPIs for hitting the audience out there, and membership numbers and all of that, If they fail, kind of, if they don't win a flag, and then they do taper off, it's going to be really hard to see them kind of hitting any of the AFL's KPIs out in that area.
No one bloody goes to their games, Coco. No one watches them on TV. They need to win a couple of games.
Well, they're out in the middle of nowhere.
But the last 2 years, they played in prelims, playing a very exciting brand of footy.
Yes.
If that doesn't excite you and doesn't warrant you wanting to buy a membership, geez, you're clutching at straws if you need to win a flag to get those, convert those people, because they've been bloody good for the last few years.
You think it's good enough? Yeah. Oh, the style. Yeah.
And so those people that would buy a membership are literally jumping on the bandwagon after a flag.
Yeah.
You got to get on for the ride. That's the fun part.
Yeah, that's the fun part for people that have followed AFL their whole life. So it's hard starting from scratch.
Yeah, we'll go to a game and watch them play. They're a pretty exciting team.
Just before you jump off that, they've only got two of their top seven from the best and fairest playing at the moment. So they got Warden, Scheel.
Yeah, but so the thing is, you know,
Canelio's playing and he was injured last year. He would be top. He'd be winning their BNF at the moment.
Jeremy Cameron comes back this week.
Yeah,
Coco, I think players and clubs pick and choose when it comes to injuries. So if I say to Scott, you know, you lose on the weekend, but you weren't playing, and a couple of guys missing, Scott and Bucks would say, look, injuries aren't an excuse. We're not talking about injuries. That is no reason. Yet I say, what about GWS? And the first thing you say is, oh, they've got so many players out.
Well, that happens all the time.
So which one is it?
You can't say it about your own team.
I'd say on the weekend.
That's what I'm saying. You pick and choose.
I think you can, because if you have a look at our games that we've lost this year, we've generally run out of legs/soldiers. Giants, we were two down. Richmond was the one I wouldn't give us an out for, because we lost them late in the third. So that game was that tight that wouldn't. Geelong, we lost two by half time. So you do run out of soldiers, you run out of legs, you can't spin your rotations.
Yep.
Is it a reason you lost? No, it's not. Does it contribute? Yes, it does.
Yep.
So it makes it hard when your mids can't rotate or your backs can't rotate.
So looking back on the three games in 11 days, you don't blame any of that for anything?
Well, you don't blame it unless you lose players getting injured. So, because your list is supposed to be deep enough.
Let's move on. There is a emergency flare going up above the Gold Coast Footy Club, because while GWS is in that window, feeding from the Gold Coast.
They're in Shanghai at the moment.
Yeah, past kick case. They'd be loving it over there, wouldn't they? Just be smashing dumplings.
They got some frequent flyers.
Get to the Bund.
I would go to town on the dumplings. You got to love that bit of sahi.
I was over in Shanghai recently. The NBA trip. Do you remember that?
I asked to come on it, mate. Remember, and he didn't even take me.
The chicken feet.
You put
family first. I wonder if any of the boys would try chicken feet day before a game.
You wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah.
Good protein.
Quite bony.
I think it's clear now that Tom Lynch will leave Gold Coast. So Hawthorn and Richmond, clearly, even Stephen in that race at the moment. It's unclear where his preferred club is. And I see Collingwood on the next tier, Scotty. So I don't think you're up there on tier one with Richmond and the Hawks. But this is the question.
Free agent, isn't he?
Yep.
Yep.
So he can pick.
Free agency is huge, isn't it, now?
Well, what's your view? Because, I mean, whether you're a free agent or you're just an out-of-contract player like Darcy Moore or Jordan. Yeah, Jordan DeGoey.
Is it free agency still or is it compensated agency still?
You get compensation.
Yeah, so it's not free agency. So that's probably the only difference. But I've said this for a while. I think any player that's a free agent or out of contract, it's basically the same thing. Players pick clubs they want to go to now. Yep. So, and it's always such a big story. We've got a couple of guys here that are going to be free agents. Tom Lynch is a free agent. I'd love it. I'd love the industry to open up a little bit more.
What do you mean?
Like the NBA, you know, there's so much talk and I love the NBA. So, and I know you can't, there's the anti-tampering rules and all that sort of stuff over there, but you know, like everyone's known LeBron's going to be a free agent. He says he wants to be a free agent because then at the end of the season, you know, he goes to LA, he gets caught up by LA, they take him into his stadium, it's all dark, they do the announcement with LeBron James, they show him a vision for the future. I wonder when our game will move to that level. Because, you know, when you're end of season, these guys are meeting clubs.
It's taboo.
It's all sneaking around back doors, car parks, guys coming into the Collingwood gym late at night. Jongy. stuff like that. So, I just think that, I'd love to get to a stage. I think it was Juddy when he was leaving West Coast. There was vision of him walking into Carlton, coming to Collingwood, all these type of things. I think that it needs to become run of the mill because we asked for this to happen. And then
be more open.
Yeah, well, and then we're
be more mature.
Be more mature about it. There should be nothing wrong with Tom Lynch saying, I'm a free agent and I'm going to explore my rights at the end of the season.
Yep.
I'm giving everything I can to the Gold Coast now. End of the season, there's a list of clubs I want to meet with. It's Gold Coast, it's Richmond, it's Hawthorn, it's Collingwood. And then I'm going to make an informed decision on that. Because clubs do that in the draft. They meet with every player, they make an informed decision on who they want to draft, and they televise it.
So why aren't we mature enough?
Because it's new, I think. Because it's new and the old way of recruiting players used to be like this. And I think we should be able to open up, be mature. Not saying that Tom Lynch should do a press conference about the decision. But, you know, I think that path of, clubs really putting on a show for potential free agents, spending a bit of money on the experience to sell them the vision of the future, I think it would be a cool thing to happen.
I think for me, from a fan's point of view, it would take a whole change in kind of the mindset of the fan, because the fan sees the club, loves the club, loves the players, and I guess if I could lend a metaphor, it would be like you're married and then it's like, oh, I'm gonna go just shop around and check out other wives, and then jump off your wife and go to another wife.
I'd say it's more like you've got a girlfriend and then you want to have a break and you want to have a look around. Married would be when you sign the contract.
So then how do you feel about Jordan DeGoey's current situation? Because I asked this question of Tyson Goldsack at the weekend. Do you feel that Jordy DeGoey is in a different situation where, because he's been through a few misdemeanors and there's been, you know, all that sort of stuff, that he owes the Collingwood Football Club? If he at the end of the day said, you shook your hand and said, Scott, look, thanks for all your support, but I'm going to Carlton, say, at the end of the year, how do you feel about that?
Well, that's like, and you know my thoughts on all of this stuff, that's his decision. So whether he owes the club or he doesn't owe the club, that he's out of contract, it's within his rights to go look and do the best thing that he thinks is for himself and for his football, whatever that may be. Now, as captain, I'll clearly speak with him and sit down and be like, you know, I'll be able to say that I think this place is best for you, but I'm not in the meetings with other clubs or whatever it is. But the thing I don't like about it is, you know, his manager comes out and says, oh, there's other clubs talking to us. It's like, well, that stuff should be parked until the end of the year. If you want to be a free agent, you've got to put up with all this press for the year. Park it unless you're going to sign. And then at the end of the year, if Jordy or his management come out and said, you know, Jordy's happy at Collingwood, but he's going to have a chat to XYZ and Collingwood, and then we're going to make an informed decision. That's
you're
all.
Cool that, with that?
I'm fine with that. That's the landscape now. And if I wasn't fine with that, then I can't ask for the other stuff to happen because it shows that I'm still immature about it.
Yeah. What if he said, Carlton, for example, are going to give me an extra $200,000 a year. You know, so Collingwood offer B, but the offer is better at A, and he says, right, I'm going to take the better offer. How do you feel as a teammate, as a senior player, respected player about that, his decision then?
Yeah, well, I've always, you put it on record that I think Jordy should stay at this football club, and I absolutely want him to stay 100%, but you can't begrudge anyone for leaving if they think it's better for them, and that's all it comes down to. If they think it's better for them, they see a better future for themselves, then they're going to leave. And we've seen guys leave for different reasons, blah blah blah, from in the whole industry. So, and the beauty of a football club, it's never built on retention of one player.
Yep.
You know, is if Geordie loses, if we lose Geordie, will we never win a flag? Well, you just don't know. Like, there's so many cases. Hawthorn lost Franklin, they go and win a flag.
Yep.
Adelaide lose Danger, they go play in a grand final. Yep. So, yeah, it comes back to the player's decision, where they see their best football, their future. And then, yeah, always I'll make a strong case to any of our guys that their best future in football is at Collingwood, which is a powerhouse of a football club. Mm-hmm.
And Geordie's certainly playing career best footy, so that's...
that was something. Tom Lynch, wasn't it, that last bit?
Well, that part is interesting because Ned Guy, the list manager, right? So he'd have these two players there, Darcy, Geordie to go, Jamie Elliott's out of contract, so is Ben Reid. He has to have a plan B. So he doesn't know for certain that all these guys are going to stay. He's got $1 million, $2 million of salary cap space.
I think
he needs a backup plan.
Well, I think all these list managers would have plan A, B, C and D.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. And I just think, like, I'm clearly, I like the media side of things and opening the game up. But how cool would it look if Tommy Lynch was walking down and you knew, everyone knew, he's having dinner at Rockpool tonight with Damien Hardwick, Trent Cotchin, Dustin Martin, and you catch all that walking in, you catch him coming out.
Scoop.
Yeah, like, how good is this? It creates, you know, Rockpool throwing a free dinner for the Jock and Journo podcast for the mentioned, all that sort of stuff.
The art of the deal over here.
But, like, I think that stuff adds to fan engagement, keeps football so much more in the public eye front in the off season. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, all this stuff happens behind closed doors anyway. And they sneak around, do it, and you got journos running around the back of car parks chasing a story. Let's just open the industry. Everyone wants to open the industry up, but no one wants to take the first step.
Yeah.
Is that probably fair?
I think that's a very good call. But it's hard too when clubs and coaches lie about it. You know, like when you ask a question, they say, oh, no, that's not true. Yeah. But yet they're doing the
– But say in 3 years' time, if you look forward, if it changed to the point of Tom Lynch said, you know, at the end of this season, I'll be a free agent and – by round 18, you'll have the list of clubs that I want to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
The questions would then probably stop going to clubs like Richmond. Oh, are you interested in Tom Lynch? Because it'd be like, well, his decision's coming out. Wait to that. And if we're on his list, we're on his list. So, yeah, I can. It's almost like a flow-on effect. It's a snowball effect from a few good things happening. Eliminate the little things that we always want answers for.
Like my fashion sense, Coco. Progressive thinking over there. Well, I like that.
Backwards thinking.
You going to the Judd Cave tonight? I was driving in Triple M. I was listening to Triple M today. Yeah. And
number one radio station.
Yeah, something about football. There's a Judd Cave meeting tonight on Triple M. And I thought, would you be going to the Judd Cave tonight?
Surely.
Didn't make the invite list, boys. Yeah. Why? No, it's a bit of a... It's sort of the A-team there, the Friday night crew. And I've been, you know, a bit of a role player. In that, so I haven't quite got the invite into the man cave, and that's disappointing.
Toiling away in the seconds. Who do you replace?
Does he have just a select crew? I've heard about it before, and as I said, driving in today, listening to
it. Yeah, listers. Yeah,
he said, is it tonight? Does Eddie go? Eddie go to the
job?
No,
it's the
Purple
the,
makes the cut.
Oh, it's the show.
How does Purple make the cut? I heard on the radio last night he's going to get the flick because he doesn't bring a good enough selection of wine.
They bring, like, serious wine, Scotty. I know you regard yourself as a bit of a connoisseur, but they rock up with, like, $300 or $400 bottles of wine to that thing and try and show off who can have the best, like, bottles of Grange and
That's
stuff.
Huge in America at the moment. Well, the drinking the red wine and who can rock up to the party with the best bottle.
Yeah, my pockets aren't that deep. See, maybe that's why I'm not invited, Coco, because I know they're going to get the Wolf Blast $30 Dan Murphy's
in comes
number.
Jay with his six-pack of Furphy.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's disappointing, mate.
It's tough for me. How's your house bill going? I see that
The build?
Yeah, build.
I thought you said bill.
Build.
And the build. I'm a few weeks away now from moving in.
Yeah.
Do you pay for any of that? Or?
Are we going to have a... Is there going to be a Pendles cave and we're going to have a...
No, we'll get there. Yeah.
A Pendles cave.
There is a cave. There's a man cave coming. And serious man
maybe
cave.
We can have our own party. Can we?
Absolutely. We can do the pod.
We can put the podcast in the man cave.
Pod cave.
What are you going to bring?
The pod cave.
Are you allowed to have Cheetos?
What? Cheetos? What are Cheetos? Mate, you bring Cheetos to the pod cave and you'll be gone.
What are you going to bring?
Short-lived. No, it's got to be like
Coco's bringing his one
carton
draft. Carrot
sticks or some shit.
What spread are you going to put on? Do we get a spread?
No, you got to bring a plate. Dynamic. We'll get some dynamic meals in there.
I keep seeing these the platters that you guys put on. Oh, the prosciutto.
Yeah, we had Jax's first birthday last weekend.
Saw that
on Instagram. How'd that go?
Yeah, it was good. Only lasted for a few hours because then he's asleep again.
I had the little man cope with the attention. can be a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah. He did the hands up on Hibi Parai and he loved it. Yeah, yeah, loved it.
Is he fully Instagram baby of Melbourne?
Is he, I don't know.
He could be the most
getting
Instagram.
Getting a bit of a head wobble of him already.
How did your wife cope with sort of the build up? Because it can be a stressful period.
No, no, we had a catering company come in and do it for us.
Of course.
Because I didn't want to put that on L.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm training and stuff, and then to come home and to cater for 50 people. So,
yeah. It's a stressful life for life and
after. Oh, mate. Well, you should have seen the spread. So, it was your private chef come and did it for us, and the spread was insane.
Yeah.
Like it went very quickly, but yeah, it was well done. And Alex did a good job.
You would have been there though, Jay.
Some fresh meats, wasn't there?
Don't give any invites.
I don't get any invites.
You'll be coming to the pod cave when it's up and running.
The pod cave. That's good.
There was a man cave expo recently, wasn't there? I should have got to that. Yeah. Gave me a few ideas.
Good luck for the game. So you're going to play?
Yep.
Good luck for the game against St Kilda. They are going like a bastard. Is Alan Richardson ever going to make a selection statement? I can't believe that he didn't. The axe didn't come down on either Armitage, Billings or Nunes. He's backed that team in week by week by week. He's seen as a conservative
coach.
When are we going to see a selection statement? When are we going to see, they're going to send a message to that group?
I don't think he's out there to please the media. So
no, but I they're such an inconsistent team. They play well and they drop off. Play well, drop off.
I think they're like looking at them and
you would
watching
at
them.
This week.
Yeah, exactly right. I think they're doing a lot of stuff right. They're just not converting. So
Dicko's fault.
These are this program where you operate at 70% if you stick to it, don't you?
Is he still getting?
I think it is.
Clear the mechanism.
Yeah, we did it here. It's actually a really good program.
See?
Yeah.
How do we go set shot kicking?
Don't know. We're like second in the comp at the moment though.
Oh, yeah.
But he's gone now. So.
Yeah. Oh, because even you're kicking the set shots now, aren't you?
I kicked one. That's it.
I think that's enough. Tom Foolery on the Jock and Journo show this week. I'll be very interested to see what you heard it here, folks. If North Melbourne beat GWS, then we're going to be talking about the Giants all next week. Scotty, good luck.
Thank you.
On Saturday, Coco outstanding as always. We'll catch you next week on the Jock and Journo show.
Thanks. Cheers.